Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Paddock Project. This was a sprint weekend and just the absolutely most insane Sunday we have seen in such a long time. We can't believe there are only three races left, including Vegas up next, which I will be at. So DM us if you're planning on being there. And you know the drill, as always, we'll be doing a meetup likely on the Friday of that weekend. But so much to dive into before we get there. So I'm Tiggy.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Chessa. Okay, our overall thoughts and takeaways. For me, I thought that last year's race in Brazil was like the best race of the year and we couldn't top it. But holy moly, like we were completely wrong between all of the sprint drama, all of the weather drama that ensued, and then leading to all of the different red flags and strategies. And there's literally, this is the kind of race where if someone's like, hey, I'm new to F1, like what should I watch? I would maybe be like, don't watch this race because there's so much to dig into and dive into and you could dissect it so much. But it was just impeccable in one of these races where you, and then we'll talk about it, like really just, I hate to say it, showed Max's true prowess and a lot of drivers' true colors came out in the good and bad ways. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Totally agree. I am a Max and Red Bull fan, so I was so happy to see him back on top, and also in a way that we haven't seen in a long time. It feels like he, the past couple of years, he's either winning by 20 seconds or, as we've seen since June, his last win was June at the Spanish Grand Prix, we've seen him not on the podium or kind of struggling to do his best with the car. And so it was incredible to see a true, very rare P17 to win by 19 seconds drive. Ocon made a point in his post-race interview that I'm curious to see. We can debate later. He said, oh, people always say that in the wet, it removes a lot of the various advantages and disadvantages of the cars and makes it more about driver skill, which of course he would want to say because he's on the podium. But I am curious to hear everyone's thoughts on that. I absolutely loved it. Of course, given that everyone was okay in all of these crashes, it was a super exciting weekend. And thankfully, safety was prioritized during the race when we went to that safety car when around kind of the middle, when the rain did reach its heaviest point. That's always a bit nerve-wracking, but I think an absolute classic of a weekend, one of Max's best drives ever. And the type of podium that, taking away Max, who can be divisive, but the type of podium that F1 fans can, everyone can just get behind with a huge underdog story in Alpine having their best weekend of the year by about a margin of 10,000 times.
And literally making like $50 million in one day. So it's pretty awesome for them.
Remember how last year we would be like, another bad weekend for Alpine. Alpine was our stake last year where we were just like, not much to report here. Like imagine if we had known.
Yeah, I am so happy for them. And it's not, it's always nice to see a moment of Esteban and Pierre getting along and happy True. With each other. So love to see that. Yeah, I agree. I thought this weekend was absolutely insane. I'm glad that despite all of the red flags and crashes, people were pretty much safe the entire weekend. Besides Alonso's intestinal infection, I feel like people came out relatively
like everything
unscathed. Yeah, and his back. But yeah, I thought it was an incredible race weekend to watch. The Sunday race just felt like the race went on for days and days and days. It just like going on forever. And I'm sure we'll talk about all the things that you all mentioned. But yeah, just another fun F1 weekend where the championships are slowly but surely getting decided, except for, I would say, constructors, which feels pretty wide open still. But we'll talk about drivers. I feel like it's probably pretty safe to say Max is going to take the cake here. But
unfortunately,
you never know. You never know. So MVPs and LVPs, I am going to give it to Max and Alpine. Sarah, I'll let you do the full Max spiel, but it was an absolute masterclass. Like there is literally no other way to describe it. And just, I think just showcases that he is a generational talent and absolutely deserves this fourth world championship, assuming he will get it. But for Alpine, just so iconic of them to come out of nowhere. And yes, whether or not you believe the rain takes away like the car advantage or not, I just think they did all the right things to have those drivers in the right place, right strategy. The drivers kept it clean. They drove really fast. They had good pace. And I think it was just an amazing, amazing result for them. So super happy.
Yeah. I think based on what I just said about how we used to talk about Alpine, seeing both of their drivers on the podium is insane. So I'll have to give it to them. And then my baby MVP goes to Yuki Q3 or P3 in quali, which was super exciting. And I love to see that too. Despite, I mean, obviously quali was in and of itself a crazy thing, and this maybe never would have happened, but I'm glad it did because you can get P3.
For me, yes, Max. So a drive from P17 to winning by over 18 seconds. And it was so similar to the Lewis drive in 2021 where he cleared the airfield twice in the sprint and then also in the race. It feels like this at a certain point also is just a testament to this circuit. It provides for incredible racing. We saw some unbelievable overtaking. So Max started in P17. He was into the points by the end of the first lap. He overtook, I think, four cars at once on the outside at turn three. So also pulling off some really brave moves when him DNFing would have had massive ramifications for the championship. And he was still going full throttle, making risky moves. He had a huge overtake of Oscar at one point. Mm-hmm. And then, as is always a bit of a foil, Checo was struggling towards the back of the pack, which makes it even more kind of an underscore of how successful Max was. It was great to hear the genuine emotion in his voice of how happy he was. Probably discuss this later. I did not like Lando's comments about luck, but I think that is what it is at this point. And it was an absolutely incredible race. Okay, how about for LVP? I just mentioned Lando, so I will go into this, but really tough day, and I think a lot of avoidable errors. So the start infringement question, first of all, which didn't end up getting investigated during the race, but kind of already started off not on a great foot. He had some huge mistakes that gave position to Russell. So first, just off the line, which again, like Tiggy was saying, this race went on for 10 years. And so this almost felt like a distant memory. But Russell, letting through Russell at turn one. Later, again, he went off track, lost position to George. Made a second mistake, lost position to Oscar. This is at the end after the safety car restart. And then I think it's understandable to obviously be frustrated when there's a red flag situation. A bunch of people get a free tire change, which is potentially a rule that needs to be looked into. But I think unlike George, who was really protesting on the radio, not wanting to be brought in, because as George saw, of course, there it was pouring so much and there had been five red flags in quali alone. And so you know there's going to be a safety car or a full red flag at some point imminently in this race, which is what Alpine knew, what Red Bull knew, what a lot of people who stayed out went on. And the Alpines were able to keep it on track on these old inters in an Alpine. And so Lando therefore probably could have done it in a McLaren. And so George was upset, which was justified, I think. But Lando had been asking to come in and then also got upset that everyone got the free tire change. And then later said it was luck. So I don't know. I don't think the best Lando day.
Yes, Lando is not on Sarah's good list right now. I'm going to give my LVP, so sad, but to Williams. It was just an absolute disaster of a weekend for them.
An expensive weekend.
Also say their wallet. Yeah, both cars crashing out of quali. Alex's car not being able to even be turned around to race, so he couldn't even race. And then Colapinto had a massive crash during the race. So their budget is really hurting and not a great weekend for them. They also got passed by Alpine and Constructors, which was less to do with Williams's sad weekend and more to do with Alpine's great weekend. But yeah, just a really tough weekend for Williams overall. And I feel bad.
There's nothing like a double DNF plus some freak accident where that can catapult a team way up the order. That's just what we live for. My LVP is just the weather. It was literally – it was an LVP and an MVP. An MVP because it caused a lot of excitement, but also an LVP because the amount of strife and struggle that the teams must have had to experience this weekend. Like, I'm pretty sure that someone said that – I forget which team, but the engineers were up at 4 a.m. in Brazil time. Start on the car. So like it was just a lot. And like there was at one point where you could see the cars going down the straight and then you actually couldn't see the car. It was just like spray. And so the weather kind of freaked me out. It could have been really dangerous. So this leads us to our hot take. So I was the only one that had a hot takes last week. My hot take was that Ferrari's comeback was not going to be apparent again this weekend, and that McLaren was going to have a comeback. So I had Lando and Oscar in the top four. So not great. And then I had Max P5. I was feeling, for some reason, extra confident after they did not hit at all last week. And I doubled down on making them extra specific, and that did not work. So next time we do a preview, guys, let's keep it generic and see if we can start to come back from this one.
For practice, the least eventful part of the weekend, we had some pretty high temps, some complaints about a bumpy track, but otherwise pretty uneventful. Ollie Berman was filling in for K-Mag, which originally started as just a plan for Friday, ended up being for the entire weekend since K-Mag was sick. Lando topped the timesheets, and then George and Ollie.
For sprint quali, so SQ1, the weather definitely dropped a bit in temperature after practice into quali, so it was a bit cooler. Colapinto had a really great lap to get into Q2, so that was definitely a highlight. Some cuts there, we had Alonso, Ocon, Yuki, Lance Stroll, and Joe. So Alonso was really the shock cut here. But as a reminder, as we were saying, he was coming off an intestinal infection that he got hospital treatment for, missed media day for. So it must have been quite serious. And as we were saying, yeah, he also had the back issues coming out of the car. So not a good health weekend for Alonso.
You know what? I got to give him my MVP because when he was racing, he was like, I'm really in a lot of pain. This is really hard, but I'm going to finish it for the engineers because they would work so hard this weekend. So good for him. For SQ2, so the highlight was Ollie making it through to SQ3, Liam as well. And the shock here was Hamilton was cut. He said he had no confidence in the car, and both he and George were complaining about the balance, and they had some oversteer. So definitely tough for Skoda to race that he really loves so much. They love him so much. So that was hard to see. So cut, we had Hamilton, Hülkenberg, Perez, Colapinto, and Bottas. But Bottas made it to SQ2, so tiny, tiny silver lining.
For SQ3, we had an incredible pull from Oscar. He just beat out Lando, making it a McLaren 1-2 front row lockout. Charles had P3, Max P4, and Carlos P5. And also shout out to Gasly in P7 as well. McLaren's pace really looked incredible during this, mostly in the slower speed corners. They had about a 3/10 second per lap advantage over the rest of the field, with Ferrari next and then Red Bull. Meanwhile, Max was complaining about the car, particularly in some of the bumpy sections of the track. But overall, this felt like a very exciting start to the weekend, and was interesting to see Oscar beat out Lando in a qualifying session as well, since mostly it's been Lando on top recently.
100%. So jumping into the sprint, it was 24 laps, so not a lot of time. Everybody started on mediums as the conditions were pretty dry and warm at that point, which was such a contrast to later in the day. Like, little did we know what was coming. So for this start, Piastri got off the line well, stayed ahead of Lando. Oscar and Lando both pulled a bit of a gap to Charles and Max, who followed, with Max trying to get ahead of Charles, where GP even warned him to take his time because Max was, I think, just chomping at the bit to pass him. By around lap six, Lando was saying on the radio that he was close, and then later was saying, I'm not sure what we're doing here. I thought we spoke about this, sort of implying that he was expecting team orders ASAP. But by lap 16, McLaren told him they were going to hold positions until the last lap, which is crazy. And Max had passed Charles and was gaining ground on the McLaren. So there was I was seeing some funny memes of like the shark fin in the water, like coming up behind them.
That was wild. It felt like they really got away in the nick of time here, getting that swap done. It felt like they had totally missed their opportunity to the shark point. It seemed like Leclerc was so close and they were going to have completely missed their opportunity to swap. So Checo and Liam continued their ever-evolving battle, fighting for the final points position in P8. Checo won out this time, and then Hülkenberg had to pull off track due to a mechanical issue, which caused a VSC. This is when, like we were talking about, McLaren made that call to switch Lando and Oscar on lap 22 of 24, which seemed so risky. It was just seconds later that the VSC was called. Some say it was called too late. I personally think this was an example of some of the potential issues with race direction this weekend. Hülkenberg was really had parked just right off the edge of the track. He was out of the car right on the edge of the track, and it took ages for them to call a VSC when I think it probably would have been obvious. Yeah. So that was definitely lucky for McLaren there that they were able to get that swap in.
Yeah, and they had the last lap to race, and Piastri really had to defend for his life on that one, but McLaren 1-2 was amazing. I think I heard this was Lando's first ever sprint win, so very exciting for him. So the finishing order was Lando, Oscar, Max, Charles, Carlos, George, Pierre, and Checo in the points. Remember, only top eight get points on this sprint. And then after the race, Max was demoted to P4 after a 5-second time penalty due to infringing the virtual safety car. So basically, drivers get a minimum time under VSCs that they have to stay above. And Max was found to be 0.63 seconds below that minimum time, which gave him an advantage. So we got a 5-second penalty for that. And then another sad highlight of the sprint finish was Hamilton saying, quote, "It was one of the worst races ever. The pace was just very off, and he was just fighting back in P11. So not even in near the points.
So jumping into quali, due to the absolutely torrential downpour and then thunder and lightning, quali was postponed to early Sunday morning. It's the first time since the Japanese Grand Prix in 2019 that this has happened. It's happened in Suzuka a couple times, 2004, 2010 also, and then at the US Grand Prix in 2015, but it's quite a rare occurrence. So quali started on Sunday morning, but it was very wet, and we have so much to discuss. Spoiler alert, there were 5 red flags. So starting with Q1, everyone except Bottas started on wets. Bottas just throwing it out there on inters, like the absolute king he is. It was just yellow flag after yellow flag. People were going off at so many parts of the track, especially at turn 12, but kind of all over the place. And then Franco Colapinto triggered the first red flag heading into the barriers with about 9 minutes left. So there was still a lot of time. It just did continue to be a sliding mess out there, though. We did have some clean laps to end Q1, but the main drama was Hamilton being knocked out by Max at the very last minute and Lando barely squeaking by in 15th. So in the end, we had cut Hamilton, Ollie Bearman, Franco, Hulkenberg, and Joe.
For Q2, Carlos went into the wall in Q2. He brought out an early red flag here. Max was in the drop zone, and then another red flag came out because Lance Stroll found the wall with only 46 seconds to go in this part of the session. So there was no time to restart the session, so that meant Max was out. So out we had Bottas, Max, Checo, so gnarly for the Red Bulls, and then Sainz and Gasly. Huge shocker.
For Q3, everyone was still all on inters. Ocon set multiple provisional poles, which was exciting, but everyone was trading off. Lando, Piastri, even Albon. Alonso went into the wall hard, caused another red flag, and then Charles had an incredible save. Albon then caused a red flag with only 3 minutes, 30 seconds left. It was a huge crash. The car was an absolute mess. He asked on the radio if the brakes failed. It kind of looked like the same type of off that a lot of people were having in terms of almost a quick snap and just not being able to save it. So it didn't totally immediately look like a brakes failure, but understand that he would want to ask the question. So the starting order ended up being Lando, George, Yuki in P3, Ocon in P4, Lawson in P5, and then Charles, Albon, who was still able to be up there from an earlier time he set, Piastri, Alonso, and Stroll. Absolutely a wild session.
Quick note on the radio about the brakes failure. When I heard that, it's a very normal question to ask, because if you feel like your brakes aren't working when you're about to crash, it's so scary. But can you imagine, sometimes we forget, and it's weekends like this that remind us how dangerous F1 can be, that you're going so fast that all of a sudden your brakes could fail. And that's a legitimate question that you have to ask. I just think, to put it into perspective, it's so
he definitely sounded shaken up on the radio too. His voice, yeah, he did not sound like himself, which is probably so terrifying.
The end of the season, the end of the F1 season is upon us. And as we're busy going to races and wrapping up everything, we are trying to do everything we can to feel our best. And one thing that we have been using to help us are our Happy Mammoth products. We've been using them for a while, especially Estro Control. It really helps us support our hormones and alleviate those pesky PMS symptoms, including bloating. It also assists in maintaining cognitive health and promoting liver function and digestive health, which is really good as we're really busy and wrapping up and heading into holiday party season.
Happy Mammoth, who also has the amazing Hormone Harmony supplement. It's a brand that's dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women, and they make no compromises when it comes to quality. For a limited time, get 15% off your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today. Spark something uncommon this holiday season with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and with Uncommon Goods, it's way less stressful. They have incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. They're really unique. They scour the globe for original, handmade, and absolutely remarkable items, and somehow they know exactly the perfect gift, and you can always find something for every single person you know. One of our absolute favorites is this book that basically pulls the cover of the New York Times from every year since you were born, so it's so cool. It's like a snapshot of your life. And basically, when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses, making sure that you're really getting something special. And all of the products are handcrafted and made in small batches. So shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Get 15% off your next gift going to uncommongoods.com/paddockproject. That's uncommongoods.com/paddockproject for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Passion, drive, and patience, the formula for winning F1 championships, is sometimes also what you need to keep your beloved car running day in and day out. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're looking for speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. They have over 122 million parts for your car. You'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And they have eBay Guaranteed Fit, which means your part is guaranteed to fit your car every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're about burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. So keep your car alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Jumping into the race. So while quali was pushed back to Sunday, the race was actually pushed up earlier than scheduled because they were scared of more afternoon rainstorms. So speaking of Albon, Williams was unable to turn his car around in time for the race, so he couldn't compete, which was really sad. Lance Stroll's race also ended before it began in the formation lap, which was just also very sad. But for the start, everyone started on inters, and it was just absolute chaos this entire race. So we're going to give a little bit of a summary of the insanity before diving into all the teams. But someone take us, maybe Sarah, take us through the aborted start situation, because I know you are not happy with Lando and how he handled this.
This was, I was criticizing Lando a lot, but I will say in his defense, this was so chaotic.
And it was confusing. Yeah.
I don't know how anyone really knew what was going on. So we had what called an aborted start at the time. So we had the first kind of formation lap, and that's when Lance crashed. And so it was kind of unclear what was going on. They called an aborted start. And so a third of the field stayed put because there was confusion about what to do. And then the lights go yellow, and you are supposed to wait for them to turn green before starting a formation lap. But Lando went forward anyway, and everyone probably partially on autopilot when you see the pole sitter pull out, everyone else pulled out as well. So he was then under investigation by the FIA for starting infringements. They also, I think, noted Yuki, George, a couple people who were also right up at the front, maybe thinking that the people at the back didn't see or just had to follow the pack. But ultimately, the people at the back would also be able to see that it hasn't gone green. So
I would hope so.
Overall, very confusing. And then when we finally got to a start, Lando got a slow start. George was ahead by the first turn. Lando kind of looked like he got a good launch at first, but George just ultimately kind of had more drive going into turn one. Some just incredible racing on the start and the first lap that somehow stayed pretty clean under the circumstances, which is amazing. Checo spun on lap one, but was able to turn it around, but it put him last in the running right off the bat.
Then we had a little rookie battle where Ollie got a 10-second penalty for causing a collision with Franco. Ollie didn't really understand why, given that Franco didn't seem to lose any time. So a little confusing for him. And then in the meantime, Max was picking off car after car. He went from 17th to 6th within 12 or 13 laps. At this point, lap 17, DRS was not enabled because they don't enable it under wet conditions for safety. And then on lap 25, Ferrari was the first to pit. Charles went on to a same or a different set of inters, but another set of inters. Then there was a virtual safety car on lap 28 due to Hülkenberg going off the track. At this point, a lot of drivers did take advantage of that to pit. So Checo and Yuki put full wets on. Everyone else kept new inters. George and Lando also pit, but they did it too late as the virtual safety car was ending. So they ended up coming out behind Ocon, Verstappen, and Gasly.
Then this is when there was a full safety car, lap 30, and then a red flag shortly after on lap 32 due to Franco Colapinto crashing. And the running order here at the red flag was Ocon leading, then Max, Gasly, Norris, and Russell in the top five. So amazing for Alpine at this point. We were like, are we going to have another constructor win a race this season? Which would be insane, especially given it's an Alpine. There was a really long red flag period with drivers out of their cars. And then there was a restart with still half the race to go. At this point, I felt like I had aged 50 years, but we still had like 30 something laps left. So everyone went back out on inters. Ollie Berman then spun shortly after the restart into the barriers, but somehow he was able to keep the car going and rejoin. So that was pretty impressive. And then this is when poor Sainz went into the barriers, lap 40, which then triggered another safety car. But the restart here was amazing, with Max just taking the lead from Ocon, and then poor Norris also just dropped down all the way to seventh behind Piastri. But McLaren did not waste any time on this one compared to the sprint. So shortly after, Piastri was told to swap positions. So there was no guessing or anything there, which I breathed a sigh of relief. Not that I didn't feel bad for Piastri, but I think it's just better to do these things quickly if they're going to get done.
Agreed. Especially because they were probably seeing Max making their way. Like, they were like, okay, Max just did such a good job. Like, at this point, it's about salvaging constructors and like, we'll deal with Oscar later.
Yeah. Sadly. So at the end of the race, we had Max P1 by almost 20 seconds, which is insane. He was just doing fastest lap after fastest lap. Then we had Ocon and Gasly to round out a double Alpine podium, and then George, Charles, and Lando for the rest of those top runners. And our radio of the week, we said we didn't think we would be there, right? By Esteban Ocon, because yes, no one had this on their bingo cards, as Gasly did say. But we will definitely give a runner up to Max's Simply Lovely, as that's just the gift that keeps on giving for for him.
I hereby announce every radio of the week to be Simply Lovely from now on. Okay, let's jump team by team. So McLaren, like we said, tough race for them. They did not maximize the strategy for Lando, especially with the pit stop timing, like we said, during the virtual safety car right before the red flag. Lando made a few mistakes, having a slow start being one of them. It seems to be maybe his signature move now. But on the other hand, Oscar was a team player, as always, following team orders. He did, although, get a 10-second time penalty for causing that collision with Liam Lawson. He went over and apologized to him after the red flag period. He's just such a legend, and I think any team is very lucky to have him. And then another thing that we should probably talk about is the Lando versus Max battle. Lando essentially said that he was sick of the Max questions and that he's focused on his own job, which I think is rich coming from him, and he's not yet in the position. And this, Sarah, you're going to be happy with me for saying this, but like, I don't think Lando is yet in the position where he can be like blowing off these kinds of questions, because he's not really in the same world as Max yet in terms of just being able to be like, I'm just going to focus on my game and I'm good. I'm on top. Like,
it's also a little more just that he does comment on it. Like, he made the comment about how Max got a bit lucky, but I don't blame him in the sense that I assume, and I think a lot of drivers probably feel this way. It's similar to how they feel when they've had an objectively horrible day and then have to stand there and answer a million times, how did your race go wrong? How do you feel about it? Lando, at this point for 6 months, has just been being asked probably every day, how's the Max battle? What do you think about Max's driving? So I do definitely understand getting a little over that. I still am just fascinated by the dynamic. And Lando posted as well that he's going to keep fighting until the very end, which I do think is fair, but it's looking like odds are a little long right now.
100%.
And then really the big question going into the race weekend was the team orders. question and whether McLaren would favor Lando now, given that he still does have a chance to beat Max, especially at the beginning of the weekend, looked like a bit less of a long shot. And that indecision was kind of on full display in the sprint, as we discussed earlier, but they definitely made up their minds for the race. It was almost like night and day with how the sprint was a huge question mark. And in the race, it was immediate swap positions. And I think when the team is that determinative, then the drivers are much more likely to comply. And it was probably discussed beforehand as well. So Lando is now 62 points behind Max in the championship with only 3 races to go. So not an amazing deficit for him right now. But again, you never know what can happen. And it's crazy to think that the difference between a DNF and a win with an extra point is 26. So again, you never know. But
I mean, it's going to be – we have 3 races left.
But Max would have to DNF like every race basically.
And Lando would have to win.
But anyway, let's talk about Red Bull. Max, as we said, P17 to P1, won by almost 20 seconds, no notes. The announcers were calling it vintage Verstappen. But it is crazy to talk about the fact, or to think about the fact, that it's his first win in 10 races. Like, that is just wild, because it felt kind of like we were right back to the old Max that we know. But yeah, I feel like that was a big statement of him sort of closing the door on Lando's championship hopes. But a couple of notable stats for him, which is really exciting. So Max just passed Schumacher for a consecutive number of days leading the championship. He also passed Lewis for career win percentage. I think he's like 30% career wins, which is insane.
Oh my God.
And it is mathematically possible for him to cinch the title next race in Vegas. So we'll see what happens. And then on the Checo side of things, he was kind of out of the conversation for most of the race, just running in the middle of the pack. So not a lot to say. He did not finish in the points. But besides him and Liam's ongoing battle, I feel like not a lot to report.
I feel like Checo has exited the group chat in more ways than one. Okay, for Ferrari, Charles P5. So nothing too crazy, but he did do a good job at keeping it clean, getting some points for the team. At this point, he is officially mathematically eliminated from the Drivers' Championship contention, but no fear. We'll talk about the Constructors' battle soon. Sadly, we had Sainz DNF, so he went from the best weekend of his life to the worst weekend of his life within a matter of, 2 weeks. So Ferrari is still P2 in Constructors. It'll be a tight battle for the top 3, so excited to talk more about that.
For Mercedes, really the highlight for Lewis was he drove Senna's iconic 1990 championship-winning McLaren, which probably would have been the highlight of the weekend regardless, but it definitely was, given how poor he said the race pace was all weekend long. He also said he was struggling a lot with bouncing, which is always horrible to hear that kind of coming back, and issues with just the quality of the ride. George, meanwhile, had different fortunes this weekend. He managed to do pretty well all weekend long, but I'm sure he will probably still feel so disappointed having held the lead into lap one, not coming away with a podium. Both Mercedes drivers were noted for adjusting tire pressures while on the grid, which would be a technical infringement, but we haven't heard any updates on that yet.
For Aston Martin, Lance Stroll, just a messy weekend. A lot of time spent in the barriers and in gravel. He was not able to race on Sunday, like we said, after beaching it on the formation lap. And Alonso also had the tough weekend coming off of his illness. But like we were saying, we're just happy that he finished the race. And it was very sweet of him to say on the radio that he was doing it for the mechanics and because they did such a good job. But I hope that he has time to recover before Vegas and come back strong.
Thankfully, we have another one of those. Well, sad that we don't have F1 for a couple of weeks, but thankfully for him, we have a little mini break coming up. For VCARB, so Yuki qualifying P3, like I said, was such a highlight. It makes me so happy just knowing that the man that we spoke to in Austin was Q3 or P3 in quali. I keep saying that. That made me really happy. For VCARB, though, both cars managed to keep it pretty clean. They got a P7 and P9, so double points finish. And after the middle finger incident in Mexico, Liam and Checo had a lot more opportunities to battle it out on track this weekend. Checo won out in the sprint and Lawson won out in the race.
What do you guys think about that whole situation? Like the flipping off and the apology and saying it was in the moment. It's like an unlikely duo. Well, I guess it is likely because Lawson, I'm sure, wants Checo's seat, but it just feels like a weird duo of people to be fighting. Like,
It's so random. That's such a good point.
It's just bizarre to me.
And they both, I agree, I think would not behave like this with other drivers. And it's because it's kind of such a heated, there's such almost a heated symbolic meaning to every little battle and every overtake that even I think it impacts their radio messages of how they're talking about each other and trying to really blame the other driver when if it was someone else, they probably would have just moved on. I do like that Lawson is kind of staking his territory and pushing, but I also think it's probably good not to have battles with multiple veteran drivers in the first sure. couple weeks in F1. Also,
people are calling him Mini Max.
The middle finger thing too is just annoying because like that's what a civilian does. So no one should be doing the middle finger, but like when someone gets angry like driving to the supermarket, maybe they'll like give someone the middle finger. Like this is F1. We're on like a bigger, more elevated stage. Like I just don't think the middle finger has a place there at all.
That reminds me of how we haven't talked about how Charles ended up being fined 10,000, I think, euros for
swearing,
cursing in the Mexico GP press conference, which I don't know where the line is drawn between when they get community service and when they get fined, but I guess they're still enforcing because he will be paying 10,000 euro.
Crazy.
Yeah. For Alpine, so besides Max, this was the story of the weekend. So incredible for them. A double podium. Like we said earlier, they jumped three places in constructors, which gives them a $50 million difference in the constructors.
Actually, prize. Insane. Someone in our Discord said that Alpine jumped an entire tax bracket in one day.
And then some.
Which is an iconic comment.
Yeah, but this is the first time in a decade that they've had two French drivers on podium. They seem to get along. And, you know, even despite the wet conditions, they had really good pace, had amazing calls on strategy. The drivers kept clean with each other. So 10 out of 10 on basically all fronts. And they also managed to not make a single pit stop. They changed both of the drivers' tires during the red flag period, which is like strategy gold mine. So they did a great job on that.
The announcers were hilarious. They were like, and the best day off award goes to the Alpine pit crew, which is so funny. For Haas, Ollie Berman really thought he was having a chill FP1 weekend, and then boom, all of a sudden he's in for the whole weekend due to K-Mag's illness. So hope K-Mag's feeling better. But highlight for Ollie is getting into SQ3 during sprint quali, which was really impressive. But I think the rest of the weekend was just chaos. So I think he honestly just did a good job of navigating it and finishing. Even if he was outside the points, it was a lot to handle and probably really good experience to get under his belt for these crazy sorts of situations. For Hulkenberg, this was actually so crazy. So he spun and four marshals had to lift up the car over the drain to push his car back. But as we know, you can't get any assistance going back to the track and getting started again. So he was disqualified during the red flag period, but he wasn't told until the red flag period. So he, I think, maybe just didn't realize, or I don't know. But I think this is the first black flag, which is a DQ, in 17 years. I'm pretty sure the last one was in 2007, which was Massa.
Whoa.
Which is crazy. The announcers are like, this is awkward. We need to move on from this and talk about something else.
It's also an example of how I totally understand why we have the rule of not any time a marshal puts a hand on your car, you cannot re-enter the session. But sometimes when the car is, you can tell it would be able to proceed if it got a tiny little push. Sometimes it does feel very harsh.
Cruel.
Yeah.
For Williams, it was such a tough weekend for the team and also their wallet. Both cars crashed out of quali, like we said. Alex was not able to start the race. There were only a couple hours to try to turn the car around. He had too extensive of damage. Cole Pinto then had a really heavy crash during the race, and it was into a concrete barrier, not a tire barrier, so that will probably be extra damage there. One highlight was Cole Pinto had an incredible wheel-to-wheel pass of Hamilton on lap 12. The roar from the crowd was so loud you could hear it on the TV. It was incredible to see his level of fan support over the weekend. And one thing that is also an extra interesting highlight of the weekend was Christian Horner was seen leaving the Williams hospitality after FP1 on Friday. There are some rumors that Colapinto could be in contention for Checo's seat. Some rumors even flying around that he's already signed. And when asked about it, James Vowles, I think, made a joke about Christian wanting to try out their new coffee machine. So no one was kind of really
I love James
denying
Miles.
It or making a giving a plausible story here.
The coffee machine is not plausible.
That would not surprise me. I really do think, especially based on Helmut Marko's conversations and comments about Checo, I really do think it's only a matter of time before we hear some announcement about Checo's future. Like, I just don't see him racing in 2025. But it might – I feel like it could happen in the off season. Who knows? But I would love for Cole Pinto to get that because I want to see him stay in, you know?
Checo seems to be doubling down on the fact that he will still be here. He keeps saying that, and maybe that's just like he'll always say that until he doesn't have a seat anymore. But
so strange.
It is, yeah. I do feel like Checo's days are probably numbered. It would seem a little crazy to me to completely bypass the people within the Red Bull organization, like Yuki, Liam, you know, potentially others, Isaac, Hadjar. Others mm-hmm. in the organization that they have trained, like Cole Pinto has done an amazing job. And if there's a seat open, like I hope he gets it. But from a Red Bull perspective, I don't know. It seems like it would be taking a little bit of a risk to fully go outside the organization when you've spent a lot of time, hopefully developing people that you're expecting to fill that main seat.
Definitely. And I think it would also be a little bit of a nail in the coffin of the whole theory of their young driver program, because it has been criticized for this exact issue of not really promoting people from AlphaTauri to VCarb to the senior Red Bull team, or when it does happen, it with Red Bull junior drivers like Gasly or Albon, it not working out. And I think Liam and Yuki morale would be really tough if Cole Pinto got a Red Bull shot before they did.
And lastly, for stake. So Joe has been the slowest car in quali on the grid for 8 straight races in a row. That's almost like a mean stat for someone to say, because it's just like
– feels like it's so not his fault. They can't do anything with that car.
It's we should just be only pulling stats that make people look good and get us excited. And then Bottas finished P13. So yet again, not much to report for stake. Okay, who wants to take us through the standings? Very exciting.
Four drivers. Max Verstappen leads with 393. Lando with 331. So 62 points separate them. Then we have Charles with 307. Oscar with 262. Carlos with 244. George 192. Lewis 190.
Ooh.
Checo 151. So Max extended his lead. Still only 3 races left to go. So not a ton of time. And there are some tight battles in the kind of 3 through 8 position. So we'll see.
Do you think the drivers really feel strongly about those positions or aren't paying attention to it once they're kind of not in the running?
I think they care about it vis-a-vis their teammates. Like, I bet Lewis is not going to be happy if George finishes ahead of him in the championship. Maybe Lewis is a weird example because he's leaving the team and doesn't care as much. I don't know. But I do feel like they care as relates to their teammates.
True. They don't want their teammate to be higher on points than them for the season. That's a good point.
Yeah.
For constructors, we have McLaren with 593, Ferrari with 557, Red Bull with 544, so still in P3, Mercedes with 382, Aston Martin with 86, Alpine now in P6 with 49, ahead of Haas with 46, and VCarb with 44. So now there's 36 points from McLaren to Ferrari, and then 13 points from Ferrari to Red Bull. So really exciting. Like Tiki was saying earlier, definitely will be down to the wire for constructors, even if not for drivers. That'll be super exciting.
All right. Next race is Vegas in a couple of weeks, but we'll catch you all next week for a fun episode. So talk soon.